Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
For this sermon, as we're moving through who God is, God the Father, God the Son, today we'll talk about God the Holy Spirit. It made me think how unselfish the Holy Spirit is. How unselfish of the Holy Spirit to do everything and anything that he does to point to Christ. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't separate the Holy Spirit from Christ, the Son, God, the Son. I can't separate him from God, the Father. They're all the same in one. It's one God, yet with distinctive personalities or persons that deal with each other and work with each other in a way that we couldn't think of. This is the person of God that brings everything to the center. It brings everything to Christ. The Holy Spirit should be leading us in our worship to Christ, should point us to the work of Christ on the cross, should point us to life through the resurrection of Christ, should point us to salvation in Christ, should point us to the church, the bride of Christ, should point us to everything that has to do with Jesus, the center of it all. And it is so amazing that the person of the Holy Spirit does that. You see, there's no strife, there's no fight for ego or for power or for authority or anything within the Godhead. Because God is God and he is all that we need and he is all that. But the Holy Spirit's work is amazing. Everything pointing to Christ. And many Christians, of course, know very little about the Holy Spirit. It's so hard to understand sometimes. That's a great tragedy, of course, because the Holy Spirit is God. It's fully divine and perfectly does the Father's will, just like Jesus did, the Holy Spirit does. And throughout the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit identified as the divine agent behind everything that God does. I read somebody wrote, said, well, the Holy Spirit is behind every important event that God does. I say, no. The Holy Spirit is behind everything that God does, whether we deem it important or not. Everything that God does dealing with humankind, with you, with me personally, with the church, with the world, with creation, the Holy Spirit is involved in it. The Spirit has a role in creation, has a role in salvation, has a role in everything that you could think of that God does. And he is at work in us, through us, and for us, even today. Just as he's been at work since creation. We see the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1 hovering over creation. And we see the Holy Spirit at the end indwelling us as his creation. So let's just go for it. And we're going to go to John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 17, and then we'll jump to verse 26. But before that, before we read the Bible, let's read the Baptist Faith and Message Article 2, letter C, the third part of Article 2. Remember, we've done God the Father, God the Son. Now let's talk about God the Holy Spirit. And it says the following. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. He inspired holy men of old to write the scriptures through illumination. The scriptures. Through illumination, then he enables men like you and me, people like you and me, to understand truth. He exalts Christ. He convicts men of sin and righteousness and judgment. He calls men to the Savior and effects regeneration. At the moment of regeneration, he baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. He cultivates Christian character, comforts believers, bestows the spiritual gifts by which they serve God through his church, and seals the believer onto the day of final redemption. His presence in the Christian is the guarantee that God will bring the believer into fullness of the stature of Christ. He enlightens and empowers the believer and the church in worship, evangelism, and service. Isn't he involved in everything or what? That's what the Holy Spirit is. And there's so many things that we can say. But you see, I want us to understand that when we look at this article, what we're saying is that the Holy Spirit is divine, is God. He is eternal. If you want to read about that, go to Hebrews chapter 9. He is omnipotent. You see that in Genesis 1. He's got power. And he is omniscient. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he knows everything. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere, according to Psalm 139. You see, there's plenty of references in the Word of God that will let you know who the Holy Spirit is, and he is God. So I want to concentrate on a few verses of Jesus' own words. And then there's a bunch of biblical references I'm going to give you, because this is such an important truth that we need to understand, because he is within us. He is the one carrying us through, the Holy Spirit. So this is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. That's a key word right there. Another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides within you and will be with you. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to believers. He's not just talking to creation and every human being and saying, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's speaking directly to people who have come to believe in Christ himself. Now look at verse 26 a little bit further down as Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit. He says, but the helper, remember he said, I will talk to the Father and he will send another helper. That means there's another helper before him. Another, right? And the helper, this helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. You see, in substitution of me, it's going to take over from me, will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance of all that I said to you. You see that? The Holy Spirit pointing us to Christ. Every time we address the Holy Spirit answers, and in some way, shape, or fashion, the Holy Spirit says, come with me. Boom! Jesus. He takes us and leads us to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, this is another, oh my God, I'm getting ahead. Let's just talk about it, all right? So the Holy Spirit, I'm getting ahead, so let's do something. Let's get organized here, David. Let's talk about the first thing I want to say. The Holy Spirit inspired God's word. Period. He is the one who inspired God's word. The scripture reveals the Holy Spirit plays the vital role of inspiring, not illuminating yet, okay? That's, remember, I got a little confused when I was reading the article, but because I missed the dot, the little point, the little period, you know, at the end, and I kind of went through. No, don't do that, David. Now, let me tell you, he is the one who inspires the Word of God, okay? The written Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as a church, we believe that the Holy Spirit inspired it through men of old who wrote the Scripture. Now, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture. Okay, when you see the word prophecy, it doesn't only mean like people telling what's going to happen in the future, okay? Or people giving you a word from God that something's coming for you, okay? That's not what Peter's talking about. What Peter's talking about here is the written word of God, what God has spoken to these inspired men. Know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. This is not for you to do whatever you want with it. No prophecy has ever been made by an act of human will, but man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Holy Spirit moving in Peter, in John, in Luke, in Paul, and everyone else is speaking directly from God's heart. That's what inspiration is all about. So the Holy Spirit moving the human authors of Scripture to write exactly what he wanted them to write. You see, this is important. This verse that we just read confirms the inspiration, but it does not imply dictation. This is not just like they got into a trance and just started writing everything. I don't think so. I don't think that's what happened. You see, the Holy Spirit inspires these people. And the way we think about it is that the Holy Spirit moves in the authors, in their hearts and in their minds to write what he wants, okay? So let's just go to the other side. We're talking about the Holy Spirit inspired. Now, let's talk about the inspired by the Holy Spirit people who wrote. At the same time, the words the human authors wrote were the very words they wanted to write. You see that? Wanted to write. So the Holy Spirit works in the author, the desire to write the things that the Holy Spirit wants to say, working through the person, working through the heart and mind of the writer. Not by coincidence, not by chance, I don't think so. The work of the Holy Spirit in their lives inspired them to write the words that the Holy Spirit wanted to say and write. You remember in John chapter 14, verse 26, which we just read, says that the helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring you to remember all the things that I said to you. We've also talked about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is what? Inspired by God and is profitable for so many things, for everything, for rebuking, for teaching, for instructing in righteousness, for what else? So that we, the result, so that we may be prepared, that we may be able, that we may be well equipped to do the work of God. The Holy Spirit inspiring Scripture. So the written word of God is one of God's greatest gifts. You see, you think about the cross, what a wonderful gift from God. You think about resurrection, what a wonderful gift. Heaven, what a great gift. Salvation, what a great gift. But guess what? We wouldn't know about any of that unless we had this right here. That's the way he chose to communicate with us. God could have chosen to do it differently. Whatever way he wanted to communicate with you and me about his great salvation and his plan for our lives. But yet he chose this, a book to be written so that you would read, being illuminated through the inspiration of the authors to know and to accept his plan for your life through Christ Jesus. Wow. See, God wanted you to have a gift. You see, so he gave his son. God wanted you to have another gift. So he gave you his spirit. And God yet wanted to give you another gift. So he gave you his word that you may treasure. And the spirit has given it to us. What a precious gift. You see, in it we find principles for life, abundant life. Instructions, you know, the B-I-B-L-E little thing. You ever heard it? B-I-B-L-E, what it means to me? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Now, whoever came up with that, I thought that was pretty clever. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. So let's get them right here. You see, this is precious. This is what he's given us. So think about it. If you were to divide or to analyze each part here, or not part, but person, but God the Father, he made you because he loves you. God the Son, he saved you because he loves you. You see, God, the Spirit, He wrote the Bible because He loves you. This is all there is to it. Man, this is amazing. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit ministering to us as people, as persons. What the work of the Holy Spirit means to you and me in our lives. The Holy Spirit is responsible for so many ministries in your life. I mean, the Holy Spirit is responsible to do so much. You think the work of Christ on the cross, that's a lot. But yet the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped working every single day, 24/7 on your behalf. For all of us, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, and we're gonna go through 9 different things that the Holy Spirit does, so you understand what He does, not just who He is, but what He does. Now, let me go. Number one, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, and you can add their righteousness and judgment, because that's what it says in John 16:8. And He, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. What does this mean? This means that the Holy Spirit will bring true light. He'll bring light to the truth that is in every person. He will bring light to the truth in every person. And what is the truth? We are sinners. You see, we may never admit our sinfulness unless the Holy Spirit comes and says, "You're no good, you're no good, you're no good." Some of you just finish it right. Baby, you're no good. No, we're sinners. We're wrong. We're bad. Even the word wicked fits in there, and we don't like that. But it is, you see, you have a conscience as a human being. I've seen people who don't believe in God use their conscience and think morally about something and say, that is wrong, that is wrong. That's part of our capacities as humans. But there's another extra top, going up level that the Holy Spirit given us conviction of sin. Because one thing is to say, okay, that is wrong, I shouldn't do that. Another thing is to say, oh my God, I've done so much wrong, I need forgiveness and I need to be remade because I'm so messed up. You see, that's the Holy Spirit right there giving us conviction of sin. You see, calling people to an account with God, calling us to make calling us to accountability before God and saying, how am I going to reconcile this? That's conviction of sin. Conviction of righteousness, it's the Holy Spirit convicting us and saying, you can't do it, but Jesus has done it for you. The righteous for the unrighteous. He has paid the price. You see, He is trying to convince us that there is a righteous sacrifice that Jesus has made, that His blood is to cover our sin so we can be righteous in Christ. That's amazing. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, but then convicts us of the righteousness of Christ that can be acquired for us through His sacrifice. Now, but then also judgment, because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you. Hey, there is a hell, and there's a bunch of people going down there in a handbasket, they say, right? Because there's more people going to hell than going to heaven, the Bible says. Oh, my God. So guess what? The Holy Spirit does the whole work. He makes sure that you understand that you're a sinner. He makes sure that you understand that you need Christ. And He makes sure that you understand that if you don't, you'll be condemned. So He does the whole work of convicting. Without the Holy Spirit, we will be blind to the reality of our unrighteousness. We wouldn't know. You see, that's why people go to hell, because they don't know, because they don't get it, because the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, you see, the world cannot know this because they don't know me. This is only for believers, but anyone who believes can then know this. You see, it doesn't matter if it's ignorance or unconcerned about judgment. Some people are like, well, if there's a hell, I guess I'll go to hell, whatever, but I don't know. You know, I don't believe in all that stuff. So that's unconcerned, right? Or maybe there's somebody who says, well, I didn't know. Really? The Bible says that there's no excuse at the end of it all. So you see, but that's another sermon for another day. But how did you become aware of your lostness? How did you come to know that, I'm a sinner, but wow, there is a Savior? You see, how did you become aware of that? Only the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit convicts. Number two, the Holy Spirit calls unbelievers to salvation. Because what he does the complete work. He says, you know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Right? But he doesn't refer to himself. But we are sinners. But yet, he says, there is a way out. You don't have to suffer judgment. So he presents salvation to us in Christ Jesus. You see, he calls us to Christ. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, this is so good. The Spirit and the bride. Check this out. Who is the bride? The church. You know, we were talking about tell the world that Jesus lives. Yeah. The bride, the church, that's us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Invites, the Holy Spirit invites to be quenching that thirst that we have in our lives, to be filling the holes in our lives and in our hearts, to be filled with the Spirit, to come to know Christ, the Spirit and the bride. That's why we need to do some work. God calls the sinners to Christ through the internal work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and the external witness of the people of God as we present the gospel through the Word. Wow. Number three, the Holy Spirit brings regeneration. You know what that means? Being born again. You cannot come to the Father unless you're born again. Remember Nicodemus, the great religious man? He's a good man. He followed the law. This man knew the Word. And Jesus says, you know what? you fall short, Nicodemus. You got it all except what you need. Let me tell you something. Jesus said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, we're all born of water, amen? Through the birth canal and stuff like that. Yeah. But, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First of all, you got to qualify, and the way to qualify is being a human being. Number two, you qualify if you, the Spirit, gives you a new birth. If you're born again in the Spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And remember, you cannot worship God unless it is in spirit and in truth. And he says, Jesus' words here picture the Holy Spirit's role of regeneration. He's the one that gives us life. You think of Jesus. He was born as a man through what? The Holy Spirit and a human, Mary. That is so awesome. Well, guess what? We need to be born of the Spirit. We've already been born by a woman and a man. But yet we need the birth of the Spirit. And he calls us to faith in that. And he calls us to be reborn in him. The Holy Spirit also indwells the believer. He not only gives you a new life, but he gets into your life. You know people who butt into your life? You know people who get in the way of your life? You know people who come and just kind of get into your business? Well, the Holy Spirit is in your business, I hope. Because he is in your life. He is there. That's what he does. He indwells the believer. Some churches teach that there's a step process to these things. That there's a second blessing to be sought. And some churches, they believe that, yeah, you believe in Christ, you're born again, but you need to look for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you need, somebody needs to come over and pray for you for you to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they separate it from the moment of birth. Let me tell you what, that doesn't jot with me. It doesn't work. That does not describe what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we are born again, we're all baptized by the same Spirit into the body of Christ. You become part of the church of Christ. You become part of the body of Christ. You become a child of God in Christ when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, which means when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. You don't need to look for something else to see if the Holy Spirit kind of comes at you some way or some fashion. He is within you once you've been reborn. You have his Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching at Pentecost, he's saying to them, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ the Messiah, for your forgiveness, for the forgiveness of sins, and you, he says, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's exactly what Peter said, and I believe it. When you believe, when you are forgiven, when Christ dwells in you, the Holy Spirit is the gift that comes to you. You don't have to say, well, I'm reborn. Now I got to seek and look for the Spirit to come and do something. He's over there. He's already there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But we do. Now, a little bit further in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Wow, the Holy Spirit's something else, man. That's all that. Holy Spirit comes in and says, listen, you're mine. I'll seal you, I'll indwell you, I'll teach you, I'll take you, I'll lead you. And I'm getting ahead. He does all that. That's what he does. See, the Holy Spirit seals the believer. You know, I want you to think of the seal as something permanent, something permanent. You see, we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit, what he does, that we understand that what he does is permanent, is forever. It's not something, this is not a seal that he puts on you and then you come at it and erase it. You know, you can't do that. It doesn't matter how much you rub on it. You will not be able to erase and take away the seal of the Spirit, a true seal of the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit seals the believer at salvation and serves as an absolute assurance that God is working in our lives and that he will complete the work in us. You see, that's the reason why he seals us, to let us know, hey, signed, sealed, delivered, you're mine forever. I want to make sure that you have this promise. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit to know that you have a guarantee. It's guaranteed for life. For eternity. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And if you believed in Christ, you've been sealed for the redemption that is to come. You know what that means? That when Jesus comes for the next time, and when he does descend from the clouds, he's going to take you with him. He's going to take me with him. We've been sealed. The Holy Spirit makes sure we're sealed. When Jesus comes, he's like, I'm going to take the ones that are sealed by the Spirit. Which ones did you seal, Holy Spirit? Ha ha. And those are the ones who will be with Christ forever. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, this is a verse that we use a lot. In him, you also, after listening, check this out. This is a progress, a process. You listen to the message of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, so you listen to the gospel, you believe in the gospel of Christ, which is his good news of salvation, you are then sealed in him with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see that? So the Holy Spirit seals us. Man, what else does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit illuminates truth, not eliminates, illuminates. Gives and shines light upon truth. That's why I wanted to make a difference and make sure that we understood. The Holy Spirit inspired the authors to write what he wanted to be written. Now, he illuminates that truth so that we may see it, so that we may understand it. And this is a dual work, right? Because he teaches us, and then he gives us the ability to understand it too. This is amazing. You see, this is so amazing. The gospel can be very complicated, but yet it is for everyone, even the least and the most. It doesn't matter if you feel like I'm too smart or I'm not smart enough or whatever. You know what? Definitely, the gospel can fit anyone. Anyone can understand the gospel because it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to make sure that we understand these two. He illuminates the truth. The Holy Spirit then gives the believer discernment to understand the truth. And John 16 and verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of what? Of truth comes, he will what? Guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. You see, Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh. Jesus is not here, but he left and he says, I will leave you another comforter. And I'm going to get to the word another in a second, I promise you. The Holy Spirit takes the place of Jesus in the flesh, but he takes the place of Jesus in our hearts. Jesus returns to heaven, and the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Spirit of Christ himself, and the Holy Spirit is here with us. The whole Trinity is with us. The Bible says that the Father dwells in us. The Bible says that Jesus dwells within us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. You have the whole shebang. God, the whole God is with you and within you. This is one of the Holy Spirit's most important works in the believer. He opens our eyes so that we may understand Scripture, so that we may understand the gospel, so that we may understand the truth of God. Remember that in John 14, 26 says, but my helper, the Holy Spirit, who I will send in my name, he will teach you. He will teach you all things. He is our teacher. He is our constant teacher. He's constantly opening our understanding to the truth of God so that we may what? Why would you want to understand what the Word says? Because you want to live what the Word says. You want to make sure that you know what you have to live by. And when you do so, your life becomes so abundant. Number 8, the Holy Spirit leads the believer. Leads the believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says, believers are not to walk according to the flesh, but according to what? The Spirit. And I would say not according to what, but according to whom? The Spirit, because he is a person. According to the Spirit. You see, we need to set our minds on the things of God. We need to set our minds on him. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, a little bit further down. For all who are being led by the Spirit are what? These are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads the children of God. He doesn't lead anybody else. He leads the children of God. That's evidence of your childhood, of your adoption, of your making sure that you are a child of God. That's one of the things that gives evidence that you are led by the Spirit. So he leads us to live lives that honor Christ, that honor his work. And then he remembers, he helps us remember everything that Christ has done for us. Leads us to Christ. Number 9, the Holy Spirit intercedes for the believer. He's always fighting it out for us. He's always on our corner. He's always out there. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, this is a great chapter in Romans chapter 8 about the Holy Spirit's work. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I mean, have you ever fell to the ground and cried out to God and prayed so deeply and earnestly that you're like, I feel like I will die if not. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'll take it up a notch for you. Because he prays things for us that we may not even know, too deep for our own words. This is one of the sweetest and most crucial ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives, interceding for us. All of that the Holy Spirit does. But also, I don't know if you noticed, but everything I said up to this point deals with personal individuals. But I've always told you that God doesn't work with individuals for the sake of being individuals. He works with us and through us as individuals in order to become one as a collective, as a family, as a church, as the body of Christ. Everything that he does points to the collective effort of the people of God. So the Holy Spirit builds the church, okay? Through all of that, now that you've been built, now that you've been redeemed, now that you've been regenerated, now that you've been taught, now that you've been given all this, now that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, he wants to do something through you and for the church. See, the Holy Spirit works not only within the believer, but also within the church as a whole too. We believe that the Holy Spirit cultivates. You see, this is in the statement in our faith, in Baptist Faith and Message statement, says that the Holy Spirit cultivates Christian character, comforts believers, and bestows the spiritual gifts by which they serve God through his church. So, there's a couple things that we can say about that. The Holy Spirit brings unity. The Holy Spirit brings unity. If there is division, that's not of the Spirit. If there's strife, that's not of the Spirit. If there's any type of division within the body of Christ, does not come from the Spirit. And a lot of times we excuse that. It's not right. Unity is one of the Holy Spirit's greatest gifts to the church. I'm so glad. I want you to think about it, because some of us may have nothing in common except that we're believers. But that's more than what you need to become one. I mean, if we really want to become one as a church, let's just think, no matter how different we are, no matter where we came from, what language we speak, what do we do for a living, or how much money or not we have, or how smart you are or not, or whatever, what unites us is that we have the same Spirit. We're all equal. And that's amazing. That should give us unity right there. And Paul reminded the Corinthians. He said, we are all baptized by one Spirit into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. You see, I want you to understand, the Spirit is within you, period. And He's already gave you to drink from the Spirit, period. If you're seeking a new sensation, if you're seeking a new experience or something with the Holy Spirit, then you need to realize and check yourself. Maybe you're wanting God to fill you. You know, the Spirit fills. The filling of the Spirit is one thing. The dwelling of the Spirit is one thing. The gift of the Spirit is when God gives you His Spirit when you are regenerated, when you're born again. That is the gift of the Spirit. But the filling of the Spirit is the process as we surrender parts of our life to Him. He fills those voids. He fills those spots that we surrender to Him. You see now the filling of the Spirit, how it works. The more I surrender to Him, the more filled I am. But the gift of the Spirit, the indwelling, the full dwelling of Christ, the Spirit and the Father are within you already. Important that we know that. Paul said in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 3, to be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. You see, we have work to do to keep that up, because the Spirit works through us. But also, the Holy Spirit bestows spiritual gifts. You know your spiritual gifts? You know what God has given you to do? I hope you do, because if you do, then you need to work them and work them right for the benefit of the church. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Bible says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, the common good, the common good. You see, God doesn't come to you because He loves you and you alone. God comes at you because He wants you, and He loves you to love everybody else and to become one. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts to the believers. He gives us gifts. It doesn't matter if you have 10 or if you only have one, but you do. There are different gifts. And Paul, you know, went through lists of them in Romans and in 1 Corinthians, and Peter went through them too. But what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve Christ and the church. Simple. It's a God-given ability. The Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to each member, and He knows exactly what the church needs, and He gives us all the gifts that we need in order to please God. Amen? We do have all the gifts. If we're lacking something, it's because we're not doing something. So it is our problem, but the Holy Spirit does. He distributes the gifts. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, He says that as each one has received a special gift, what to do with it? Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace is why you have these gifts. And if you have them, use them to serve one another, because they're not just for your enjoyment. They're for your working in the body of Christ, building the body of Christ through the gifts. When you do stuff for each other, when we do stuff for each other, when we exercise our gifts, we strengthen the church. We build up the church. And that's what the Holy Spirit does through you and me. And we've been warned to exercise these gifts because God gave them to us. We're not just to play around like we do it whenever we want to. No, they're sacrificial. We're supposed to be sacrificing ourselves in the service of Christ as He did. Am I using my gifts that Christ has given me? We need to check ourselves. That is too important. And last but not least, I want to go back to Jesus' word in John chapter 14. Because Jesus, speaking about the Spirit in terms of equality, of essence, authority, and power, capacity, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, another helper. You see, another helper that will be with you forever. Another helper. This is important. You see, and he says the world cannot receive it because they do not know him. But you can know him. And when you know him, he abides in you. That's why you know him, because he dwells within you. And then he says that this helper who comes from the Father will teach us and bring us to remembrance of all that Christ does. And I just want to close with this. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not just an inanimate force. We can't depersonalize the Holy Spirit. Everything that is spoken about the Spirit lets us know that he is a person. Let's not depersonalize him. You see, the Spirit is another helper. You know what that means? The word another means that there was another before. Jesus is the helper. The Holy Spirit is another helper, just like Jesus. You see, this is important that we understand. He is in likeness the same as Christ. The Spirit is another helper. He works just like Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit can be known. He is a person. This is important. Just like Jesus, you can know him. Not only that, the Spirit will be with you forever. He will live within you like Jesus. He abides in you. Wow. The Holy Spirit, like Jesus, can be known like Jesus, brings us to Jesus, the unselfish work and person of the Holy Spirit that brings us straight to the King, Jesus Christ. And that's what I wanted to tell you today, that the Holy Spirit that dwells within you leads you to Christ every single time. That's an amazing comfort. But maybe there may be some people who still cannot get this. Well, let's get it right. See, when you hear the gospel, when you hear about this Jesus that died on a cross to pay for our sins, that was raised from the dead to give us hope for life eternal, that ascended into heaven and is preparing a place for you and me, and that will come back for you and me, for those who believe, that is good news. And if you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit this morning, that lets you know that you're a sinful human and you have no remedy, that you have no hope without Christ, that that's not something you can fix. If you realize today that that is who you are right now, then realize also that Jesus the righteous did the work so that you can be led out of sin and into his grace. Now, there is judgment. God is holy. He will judge. But we don't have to be judged with that judgment. We also can be righteous if we believe the righteous Jesus Christ.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.